What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It is August 18th, 2026. We're recording this on Monday, August 17th at about noon 30 on the left coast. It's me and Mark. How you doing, Mark? You staying cool over there? It's hot.
Yeah, it's not that. I mean, I've been outside this morning early to walk my dog. Other than that, I've been, inside. So I would have no idea. So what's your... Trey, what's your favorite biggest corruption scandal in the history of the United States of the last week? is it the president certifying his own crypto company as a bank, which will allow Don Jr. to mint his own stable coins, which I'm sure will go away? Don Jr. print his own money. What could go wrong, right? Is it the $500 million of taxpayer money they spent on 10 used airplanes from a campaign donor who apparently couldn't unload them otherwise, who were just sitting parked because there's no one to fly them? Or is it perhaps the Department of Justice forcing Mark Walter to sell the Los Angeles Lakers to the president's daughter's family? Which one would you like to start
with? Is that what happened there with the Walter thing? Because I saw people speculating, I don't know, that he was in some kind of shit something.
He is in deep shit. It's from a lot, like, he obviously, like, I'm reading about his, like, financial background, like, He's going to end up either begging for change in a subway station or under federal prison. But, like,
it is crazy to own, like, the Lakers and the Dodgers or whatever and then find yourself in that kind of situation, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, how another president would handle it, because Mark Walters is, like, he basically has been moving money around to inflate his net worth by loaning himself money from his various companies, it looks like. So he probably would have had a just government would have had him under a microscope that would have made him sell stuff to try to balance his books out. But a regular president would have called his son-in-law's brother and been like, you cannot be the guy who buys them because it makes me look like a fucking Vladimir Putin. Right.
Right.
Anyway, so best of luck to Mark Walters. It's real funny. Like, I was reading about this NBA writer named Henry Abbott wrote a long thing about his finances that was quoting himself back from 2012 when he bought the fucking Dodgers. And what Walters is apparently doing is taking insurance money and then using it to buy sports teams and Carvana and Canadian real estate or whatever and an AI company. And it's like, he doesn't, like, if more people than usual redeem their life insurance policies, he's going to have to trade Shohei Ohtani. That's how fucking hand to mouth he is.
Yeah, it's always a house of cards, man, apparently.
Yeah. My favorite, this didn't read as a financial scandal, even though it is. The president, this happened a couple months ago where he took his, fake Qatari bribe jet to Turkey for a NATO meeting.
Please finally explain to me what happened. Because I know that, and it's so funny, because I could have at any given point looked into it further, but you know me. I was like, well, Mark will bring it up at some point. It'll be fine. But I know it's like some people, Marco Rubio got, left on the other plane and shit like that. And it was like there were people that were left possibly to die, but no one died.
He used his own employees and Secretary of State and the White House press corps as a human shield while he escaped on an unreported jet.
Right. But so what happened? They got over there and then were told there's a credible threat against you or something, so they didn't tell half the staff and secretly sent him on a different plane and just left them there to be exploded if it was true?
Well, he took his fancy. You got to remember that he got the $400 million free jet from Qatar because Qatar wanted a few things. They wanted basically just the presidential favor, but they also wanted him to attack Iran. So then Trump did so, and then Iran shot at UAE. Sorry, I mixed up Qatar and UAE. They shot at the UAE, who apparently thought that was against the rules. And now they're like, please stop attacking Iran, but it's too fucking late. Trump's stuck there. So he took the bribe jet to Turkey. And then you're not supposed to, should be flying anyway because it's built out of fucking listening devices. And then when they got there, Israel told them that, by the way, Iran's going to shoot it down with shoulder-mounted missiles when you try to leave, which the CIA says Israel's fucking lying. Israel's just fucking lying. They're making it up to scare you. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Why? Keep them mad at Iran or something?
Yeah.
To keep tensions high? Yeah, right.
Same reason
they lied. If it was true, it's like, you couldn't have told us that before we took off 12 hours ago or whatever? Like, how long have you known this, bro? You're just now telling me that? I remember when the bribe plane came up, there was a thing about how, like, you can't just use this for a president's plane, right? Or you shouldn't be able to, because like Air Force One is like a whole special specific thing that they do. It's a lot of, you know, it's not just really fucking sweet with, you know, gold all over the place and stuff.
It's a traveling military command center with the president, with the commander in chief of the United States Armed Forces. It's not, but Trump wanted to take the fucking bribe jet because he has gold toilet seats and a hot tub with a plaque commemorating his friendship with Jeffrey Epstein. So he's got to fucking take that, right? So then they get over there and they're like, well, you can't fly out of here in this because it's not safe because it doesn't have all the countermeasures and shit the regular Air Force One does. They fly in the old Air Force One, but then decide that's still not safe enough. So they sneak Trump and a few people out like through like, I'm not quite clear on how they load food into Air Force, but it's like a cart they load food in. I'm sure it's like the size of like a pod, you know, like a moving pod.
Yeah.
But it's funnier to imagine Trump like climbing into like a hot dog cart.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the, obviously we're talking about Air Force One and not a commercial jet, but I've seen the food carts they load up on the regular planes, and you know they're not overly spacious for sure. In fact, I'd have trouble imagining Trump even fitting inside one of them.
So then they move Trump to a secret Air Force One because the one like a smaller military jet, like a private jet, and then they fly to meet regular Air Force One in UK, so we can sneak back on to Air Force, the old school Air Force One, to pretend he was there the whole time while lying about it. And then everybody's like, wait, the White House press corps is like, wait, did you leave us to die?
Yeah, they didn't know any of that. They were just flying on it like regular. Didn't even know he'd done that until he got on later. Okay. Now it makes sense.
But the thing is, like, you think about who. So he left Marco Rubio and Scott Bissett, the Treasury Secretary, on surface to air missile one.
And Caroline Leavitt, too, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But the ones he took to the kids' table plane was Walt Nauta, who's his valet, his fucking golf cat. No, the guy who carries his phone around. Right. Natalie Harp, who's the woman who leaves love notes around the White House for him, who like, their relationship's weird. I don't know. People think they're having an affair. I don't think that's true. I think she's just a psycho. But her whole job is she carries around a portable printer so she can print off social media posts about what a great job he's doing to show him.
Okay, hold on. What? He has social media posts printed off on the actual paper that it's then handed to him. Here you go, Mr. President. But I thought didn't the image of him like doom scrolling on his own phone all the time and stuff like that, because it seems like he does make his own post and shit.
She types his posts. He dictates them. So, and he also took Dan Scavino, who's his former caddy. He took his caddy, the lady who prints articles about what a good job he's doing, and his personal valet, and left the Secretary of State to fucking die at a flaming fireball with the White House press corps. And his
you gotta have priorities.
Yeah. Anyway, let's have some fun and get to the show.
All right. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm already having fun, Mark. Let's keep it going with, you guessed it, the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. This week's DD, Wars, for famously being far too short, considering everyone involved is always having such a great time.
Well, no, that ship is moving. No, they're not. That ship is moving right now, or very shortly, and it's being replaced with another very similar ship. No, no, no. Not nearly long enough. Thank you, everybody.
All right. He still had the USS Lincoln. He said, like, the families have expressed concerns. Like, no, they haven't, but there's something they have because they're fucking in the newspaper. So the USS Lincoln and the suffering of these sailors must continue, I guess, until morale improves. The families have gone public with a bunch of complaints about food shortages, plumbing problems, and declining mental health among crew members, because somewhere around at least six sailors have tried to jump off the fucking ship.
Jesus.
I'm quoting from a woman named Karen Bramlett, whose grandson is on the ship. She was talking about, this just made me laugh. She asked NPR not to use his name for fears he could face repercussions or harassment from the military. And I'm sorry to tell you, Karen, I bet the military can solve the problem of who Karen Bramlett's grandson is.
Yeah.
So the administration's like defense seems to be some combination of the Zoomer sailors have helicopter parents, which is kind of true. Some of the videos I've seen are like they're complaining about the showers are so small. I kind of always assumed the showers on aircraft carriers were small. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons, among many, I didn't join the Navy. But also, another one of their defenses is the troops are pussies, yeah. which will probably work because they're in the Navy. But here, let me, I'm not kidding, really. This is Fox News host Joey Jones from this morning, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, how weak are you on TV complaining about tuna and noodles? I'm sorry. You can help get out of it.
Part of the problem here is the huge media blackout with this war, right? We only know what's happening because of what the administration tells us. And they fucking lie all the time. We don't have the embeds with the troops like they had in the first Gulf War, right? So the only form of news we have about how Iran is going is from Karen Bramlett relaying her grandson's Instagram DMs. We have that and Trump's word, which is worth as much as, you know, one ply Navy toilet paper that they don't even have. So what we do know, all right, how this came to be, where sailors don't have food or deodorant or toothpaste, is reading tea leaves. They can't go to port at our big Navy base in Bahrain. They don't have their base. They can't really use the bases in UAE and Oman. So the Navy's been forced to source stores from bases in East Asia and East Africa. A Sealift Command has a fleet of logistics ships to can deliver food and ammunition, but those ships now have to sail thousands of miles. Even at the height of the Second World War, the logistics train used by the Navy was shorter than the one being used now in the Northern Arabian Sea, right? That's what happens when you go to war with no fucking planning. Right. We chased the Japanese Imperial Navy off across the biggest ocean in the world without these kind of supply shortages in 1943.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out there's a downside when you kick all the trans people and fatsos with clipboards out of the military. You cannot fucking keep ships gassed up anymore.
Right. Is it them not being able to use those bases in the Middle East? Is that a result of like underestimating Iran or something? Like they can't use them because they'll be in striking range or something like that. And they thought they'd be able to, but now they're not, or they just didn't think of that, or they didn't think it'd be as big of a factor.
Well, we know they've been lying about the damage to the naval base in Bahrain because we have footage of it and it doesn't match what they said about it, right? But the base is apparently, when all those sailors got hurt with unmentionable head injuries, we don't have a firm number of it yet. A lot of those were at the base in Bahrain. So you remember a couple months ago when Iran shot a cruise missile at Diego Garcia and one of them had to be shot down, which we didn't know they had missiles that could go 4,000 miles?
Right.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So that was hailed at the time. It was painted in the news as like Iran showing off how far they could reach just by arbitrarily striking Diego Garcia because like it's a joint UK-US base. Here's the thing: is like after Bahrain got struck, they had to ship supplies through Diego Garcia. That's why Iran was striking it, which we only know now. We only know Iran was doing it to cut off a logistics hub. Because of the downstream what's happening with USS Lincoln. What I'm saying is Iran knew that our troops were facing supply shortages, but they weren't honest with us about it. Usually you'd say they wouldn't tell the news because they don't want the enemy to know, but the enemy fucking know. They're only not telling us. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And as far as the mental health, mental strain, like when you're on it, my understanding is when you're on a ship at sea at the Navy, you basically work 12 hours on, 12 hours off, 7 days a week. You have no privacy. You have nothing ready. So it's like you get burnout pretty quickly is my point, which is why they have downtimes built into the schedule. A typical rule of thumb is you have 3 or 4 carriers deployed and one is back refueling, replenishing, and resetting, right? The issue in the Northern Arabian Sea is that only 2 carriers are deployed. Those are the only 2 we have, so they're working around the clock, all of them. Even in World War II, the fast carriers would stay at sea for a month at a time. So the Lincoln's 5,000 sailors and Marines have been deployed for more than 8 months. So World War II, a war for survival, 1 month at a time, 8 months for this optional war that no one knows what we're fighting.
Right. But also, why is it? It sounds like it's like that because there's only 2 of them over there, but why is there only 2 of them over there? Don't we have more carriers than the next country, than like all the next countries combined by like a, you know, by
we have,
double
we have,
or triple
we have
as
11.
Many?
We have 11 aircraft carrier battle groups, which is more than the entire rest of the world combined. Yeah, I think China has 1.
But yeah, 11. Yeah. So if we have 11, what there's, you know, what are the other 9 doing?
Well, some of them are in. We only have one. We only have one base, Newport News, I think, that can actually refuel nuclear carriers. So, like, one's there. Some are in the Pacific. We just pulled one out of like the China Sea, I believe, to try to go back one of these up. But like, we just like, you can't attack the whole world all the time, all at once, and expect it to go well, which is what we're learning. It seems like common sense, but apparently we thought we were all powerful god emperors of the earth. So anyway, yeah, the Lincoln was supposed to, their deployment was supposed to end in May. It is currently now August, mid-August, and they don't have an end date in sight. So no one knows when they're going to be up with. And I just want to dispense with this real quick. I've seen a lot of this criticism. It's like, why should I give a shit? They signed up to bomb girls' schools in exchange for oil and for Israel or whatever. And I'm like, no, they fucking didn't.
No, I hate shit like that. As somebody right. from a small town, that mm-hmm. like narrative's always bothered me because it's like, it's so predatory in so many ways. A lot of these dudes are 18 years old. You know, the stereotype, it, they just want a Dodge Charger or whatever. They're getting this signing bonus. But it's also, I mean, even that's like just the dumb ones. But outside of that, there's also, it's like, it's there's not a lot of great options for a lot of these dudes. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it's like the military is one of the only very few options that some of these guys have. They're not going to be able to go. They can't afford college. They don't have super great grades. They're not an incredible athlete or whatever, but they don't want to just be fucked trimming trees with their dad for the rest of their life or whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe you go to the Marines or, you know what I mean? It gives people. So it's like, it's just, it's crazy to me to think that like teenagers really are like all taking into account the ideological implications of this type of decision when they yeah. make it, you know, especially considering, I know, cause I remember the hard sell that you are given, you know what I mean, by the recruiters and stuff. Like, it's pretty intense. Yeah. So I just think that that's complete bullshit, you know?
Yeah, it's like you, some of them, are poor, take a few years, get out of their hometown, maybe see the world, you know, they don't know what they want to do with their lives. You get 3 or 4 years to, like, you know, make a decent living while figuring it out, and you know, maybe the life, you know, like, there's lots of reasons people join the military, and right. like none of them are like, all you got to do is talk to anybody who's in the service. They know full well they have far more in common with the people they're actually fighting than the people who sent them to do the fighting.
Right. I feel like the last time that was true was after 9/11, when people thought that that's what we would be doing, and then a lot of like my buddies and shit who got over there and then realized like, oh, this isn't. You know, this isn't what I thought it would be at all. You know what I mean? Like, we were attacked, and some of them did sign up to, like, protect America's freedoms or whatever, and then they end up over there in Iraq, and they're like, this is a bunch of horse shit, you know?
Pat Tillman.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Pat Tillman shot in the back of the head by his own men by accident for complaining about the war, you know. So, the addendum to, like they signed up for this, and, you know, they didn't, is, like, this is not their fault. This is our fault. We as the American people elected the, like you do not want them doing it. They commit a mutiny?
Right.
They seize control of the USS Lincoln? Then what?
Right. You can't do that because then they'll send in Jason Statham to put the mutiny down, and then you're all in trouble. I don't know what that new movie is. Jason Statham has a new movie called Mutiny. I don't know. Maybe he's the one doing the mutiny, actually. I'm not sure. Real quick, you haven't seen this, Mark? It's from the guy that made Plane, right? Ah. So the internet is upset that this movie is not called Boat, which I agree with.
Plane, good movie. I like Plane.
I'm excited for Boat. It's called Mutiny, but I'm calling it Boat just because. But either way, yeah, looking forward to it. Anyway, go ahead.
I'm not figure out what I would have called Plane. I don't know. Hijack was available at the time, I think, until the TV show took it. But so let's get to the attempted suicide part of this. Trigger warning. So, yeah, multiple sailors have tried to jump off this ship. Let me quote here from a woman whose husband was one of them. Her name's Annabelle Loma. She's spoken with her husband only a few times since he attempted to jump overboard from the USS Abraham Lincoln during his current deployment. She said she initially received a call from the ship's ombudsman after the incident, but has not heard from anyone with the Navy in recent weeks. So it's been weeks since her husband tried to kill himself. They called her to tell her that he did so, and then she hasn't talked to anyone since. Which, and like, they're not really, like, I said about six. The six people who attempted suicide is coming from their families. It's not from any sort of official Navy statement. So we only know what the family, like, we don't know how many people have tried to jump. And, like, I gotta say, you gotta be extremely desperate. Like, that is a method of suicide. Seems fucking insane to me.
Oh, yeah. That's one of those nightmarish ones, dude. I feel like just floating out there in the open abyss ocean. Like that. Yeah.
So it's an extreme cry for help. They pull one guy actually made it to the water. At least one guy made it to the water, and they pulled him out after about an hour. So, like, if they hadn't pulled him out, he just would have floated there till he thirsted to death, I guess, or died of sunburn or something. So let me quote here. The Navy did not provide a precise number of sailors who have attempted to go overboard or engage in self-harm aboard Lincoln during the current deployment. But can you fucking ballpark it? Like, how many people try to kill themselves on this boat? More than 200 family members attended a meeting in San Diego last week with the acting secretary of the Navy, Hung Cao. Are you familiar with Hung Cao's whole thing, Trey?
No, I'm not.
He's a 30-year Navy veteran, retired as a captain, so he's not... You would think he's not stupid.
Right. You would think that.
I want to play this video clip from him. The guy, he's trying to read a statement here. This is the best take. This is from April when he was first confirmed as acting secretary.
My name's Hung Cao. As of 60 hours ago, I'm the acting secretary of Navy. I want to take this time to address you and tell you that my priorities. First and foremost is to take care of you. We will take care of your needs and make sure you can do the mission.
Okay.
I mean,
I am secretary of Navy. We need the platforms we need because we need them.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best take.
Dude, he sounds like a side character from Idiocracy or something right there. That's what he sounds like. Or like a Family Guy cutaway or something. I don't know.
So, as a native Virginian, I followed Hung Cao for a little bit now because he ran for Senate again. I think it was against Tim Kaine. Anyway, he lost by a lot. But, like, so, yeah, this is from his Senate campaign a few weeks ago. This is him. You gotta see this.
Again, it's, you know, we can't let it turn like this. There's a place in Monterey, California called Lover's Point.
Yeah.
The original name was Lovers of Christ Point, but now it's become, they took out the Christ, it's Lover's Point, and it's really, Monterey is a very dark place now.
Yeah.
A lot of witchcraft and the, right. the Wiccan community has really taken over there.
He needed to be elected senator from Virginia because Monterey, California has fallen to witchcraft?
Yeah. Well, and by witchcraft, it just means like goopy, crystal-loving white ladies or whatever, which they are legion up there, you know what I mean?
For sure. But I just don't think it's like, there's not like a cloud of darkness hanging over Monterey, California.
Summoning bile or whatever.
So anyway, if you wonder why they can't get lunch meat on the USS Lincoln, it's because the Secretary of the Navy thinks the witches did it. Let me quote here also from his campaign. Cao claimed in campaign appearances that, quote, I'm 100% disabled, you know, because just from being blown up in combat many times. Again, he was a Navy captain, not Special Forces or anything. And he didn't get a Purple Heart or a combat action ribbon, so he never even got engaged in combat. And so they asked him, what do you mean by gotten blown up? And he declined to clarify. He just, you can look at the man and see he's not blown up.
Like a Looney Tune or whatever, like a cartoon character or something. It's so funny to like describe it that way. Yeah, 100% service disabled from what? Just from being blown up a bunch. I got exploded a lot in the Army. I got medals for it. I lost them though.
Yeah, my injuries went to another school in Canada. You wouldn't know of them. So the public outcry about this from these families has gotten loud enough that the White House sent Admiral Brad Cooper, who's the head of CENTCOM. CENTCOM is like the regional command over the Middle East and North Africa. They flew him out there. Do you remember in Hunt for the Red October where like to get into the submarine, Jack Ryan has to drop from the helicopter into the water?
Yes, I did.
I'm hoping he had to do some shit like that because that would just make me laugh. So he said, my time aboard USS Abraham Lincoln yesterday was awe-inspiring. I wish every American could see the crew in action. You would beam with absolute pride when witnessing their camaraderie, teamwork, and resilience. CENTCOM's in Tampa, Florida. So they flew him from Tampa, Florida to the fucking Arabian Sea to look at the sailors and promise us they're being fed. Is basically what happened. And this just made me laugh. I looked up because I was wondering, like, are the regional commands, how many of those are in the United States? Because, like, the Middle Eastern one being in Tampa seems weird to me. But let me quote here. Of all seven American regional unified combatant commands, CENTCOM is among four that are headquartered outside of their areas of operations. The other three are AFRICOM, which is in Germany. SOUTHCOM, which handles the Caribbean and South America, which is in Miami, which sort of makes sense. and Spacecom, which they don't say where it is, but they feel the need to tell us that it's not in space.
Right. Not yet, Mark.
Yeah.
I'm sure Elon's working on it.
Let me quote here. So, let me quote here from Admiral Brad. Here's an important fact. Of the U.S. Navy's 11 active aircraft carriers, the Lincoln currently has among the lowest number of cases related to mental health.
Yeah.
What you the fuck is going on?
Trying to kill themselves in bed. You see these other boats dropping like flies over there.
How many people are killing themselves in the other boat? It feels like we need, like, are we having a suicide crisis in the Navy? Like, can we talk about this? So, Cooper's been in charge of CENTCOM for like a little over a year. When the war in Iran first started, I remember we talked about Kirilla the Gorilla, who was the last CENTCOM commander. Remember, we were in a hurry to bomb Iran last summer because Kirilla was about to retire. They wanted to get it under the wire before his time ran out. Mm-hmm. He really wanted to fight Iran before he had to put in his paperwork. So there was another Army guy who was in line to get CENTCOM command, and they scrapped him and gave it to Cooper instead because Cooper is the Navy guy. They knew they were going to gear up to like fight or do a long war against Iran, I guess, and the Navy's important to that task. But also, Cooper's really close with Israel and was more gung-ho about attacking Iran than the other guy. So that's why he got the job. So I want to note here, like, I went and looked it up because I was like, what are trends with like military suicides? Just because I was curious about that kind of thing.
what a marked statement that is.
No, but
I was like, my morning tea the other day. I decided to just do so some like, light reading on trends with military suicides in wartime.
Well, I was like, do they go up during wartime, right? Because my cowardly non-troop ass is like, they probably go up, right?
But it's not true. I could see it being the opposite. Because I always get the impression it's like when they come home and they've lost their purpose or don't know what to do with themselves, and the military casts them out, you know, throws them in the trash once they're done using them to shoot at other people and that type of thing, and that's what leads to this sort of shit. Or the jarhead stuff with the fucking, ennui and like pent up aggression and not know what to do with it and all that type of thing. When you're in combat, it's fucking all hoorah, go hard. Well,
yeah.
What do I know? But
yeah, so because I looked it up, and historians and epidemiologists call it the social integration effect. But yeah, troop suicides simply go down during wartime because they do have a mission, right? So, I'm not being naive here. I know that combat provides more opportunities to make suicides look like not suicides to protect the image of their families and whatnot. But like, no one seems to think that all the numbers are fake. It generally does go down. But compare that to this war. It's not going down. It's going up in this war. And I wanted to quote here from an anonymous soldier, I think, to a reporter. Quote, what people in the media don't understand when they compare past conflicts to this one, this operation has no morale behind it. Mm-hmm. That makes a world of difference to service members deployed to undesirable locations indefinitely.
Totally makes sense to me. Again, we've said from the very beginning, it's like we don't even know what this is for, why we're there, any of that stuff. It's like with the preceding conflicts, there was like, at least a stated reason, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes it's a lie or whatever, but there was something there that troops could ostensibly rally behind. But with this, what the fuck is it supposed to be? And I assume you're going to show us soon the graffiti or whatever that they've reportedly been doing over there.
Yeah, this was going viral on Troop Reddit yesterday. It's an image from it's a plane flap from an aircraft where the troops wrote in dust. If you throw this up, Matt, you got a classic. If you can't really make it out, but the picture on the screen. But one of the messages says "suck wieners and balls." Just a classic.
That's classic. Yeah, you see that in every war since time immemorial. I've been fucking Roman legionnaires were riding like fucking
suck wieners Pulo and balls.
Sucks wieners and balls or whatever.
Yeah, but then the rest of them BB's cut. Maybe quote some other messages. BB's cucks.
Mm-hmm.
Operation Epstein Fury. Now, those are just, like, obviously just, like, troop irony, like, not liking the mission or whatever. Then you get into some veiled anti-Semitism. Not even veiled, just anti-Semitism. Be a good goy and do what Israel tells you to. This was quoted in the press. I saw somebody read it as guy. Somebody's not very internet savvy. It's goy. I love Israel. I'm a good goy. Close to my heart, there's one over there. It says, I heart flock cameras, which will take us to our next segment after we get back from the break.
Yeah, we'll be back right after this. Weekly Skews is brought to you by ZBiotics. back to school season, that can change the whole math of a weekend up. You know, all summer, Sunday got away from you. Monday was kind of negotiable, you know what I mean? But not anymore. Got to be up, got to have them shoes on, bags packed, car out, the crack of dawn. It feels like, you know, you got to be back on top of your business once school starts back up. You know what I'm talking about, parents who drank a little bit. Yeah, my people. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. It's the world's first genetically engineered probiotic invented by PhD scientists to help tackle those rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut, and it's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration in and of itself, like a lot of people think, that's actually to blame for those rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme which helps break that byproduct down and can make you feel your best the next day, right? Just remember to make pre-alcohol from ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Then, of course, as always, drink responsibly. Don't be a maniac, and you will still feel your best tomorrow. Every time I have ZBiotics pre-alcohol before drinks, I noticed a difference the next day. I had one before a cookout at a buddy's place a couple weeks ago, potluck situation. The next morning, I still got up early, did dad stuff, did honeydew stuff, and was an actual living human being for once in my life. You know, never even thought about the night before either. It was quite the triumph here at the Crowder household, thanks to ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Nobody likes a Monday morning. Pre-alcohol works overnight, so you can have a real weekend and still show up sharp. So go to ZBiotics.com/skew, that's SKEW. And use the promo code SKEW for 15% off. One more time, ZBiotics.com/SKEW. And use the promo code SKEW for 15% off. Weekly SKEWs is brought to you by the Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. Where I come from, public school is the one building in town where everybody's kid ends up in the same hallway. You know, Baptist kid, Catholic kid, the kid like me whose family didn't go nowhere on Sunday morning. That's the whole, that's part of America, isn't it? That's how it's supposed to be. It's what I thought. It only works if the government ain't picking favorites, you know what I mean? 250 years into this grand American experiment, and every one of us has got to decide what kind of country we want this to be. And, you know, we know the founders, they got some things wrong, but one thing they got right was knowing that church and state, they should be separate, real far apart from each other. In fact, if you ask me, well, this fall, Christian nationalists are out here trying to bulldoze that principle and take this country to some truly dark places, and they're not even being quiet about it anymore. They're misusing government power to force their beliefs on the rest of us, rewrite our history, and decide who gets to belong here. Well, Americans United refuses to let that happen. AU has sued the Trump administration 7 times in the last year alone and 12 times since the second administration began. They've gone after government officials using taxpayer resources to push their own religion. They're exposing abuses of power, defending public schools, and holding the government accountable when it violates the Constitution. But lawsuits and policy change don't happen on their own. They happen because people decide to be a part of it. So visit au.org/crooked to learn more and join the fight today. One more time, that's au.org/crooked.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
All right, and we're back. Thank you guys for being here. As always, we're going to go on with our honorable mention for Daily Dumbass this week, which is people who don't understand that the tree of liberty must occasionally be refreshed with the blood of tech nerds. Matt?
Does Oakland County want this? I believe that Flock right now is one of the most hated companies in America. They are one of the most corrupt companies in America. And quite frankly, sir, I don't think we can make America great again without hanging your CEO publicly for treason.
You're not
Damn, I'm fucking cooking now, baby. That is a county commission meeting in East Tennessee, Sullivan County. It's Sullivan County Commissioner Joe Carr. And I don't think he and I would agree on very much except for fuck the CEO of Flock. Mm-hmm. I personally wouldn't threaten him with death, but then again, I don't have control of a county commission. We've talked about Flock before. And I don't want to recap, what exactly. I think people now know what Flock is, or how rapid it's expanded from zero to 100,000 cameras basically overnight in the past couple of years. The lies about what they are, they say they're just license plate readers when they're pointed at fucking hiking trails and children's playgrounds. The security vulnerabilities that let any old neighborhood rapist hack into them just by pushing a reset button. We also talked about how the CEO called anyone who doesn't like them terrorists. So you and I are terrorists, I believe. Mm-hmm. But it is kind of funny, as we get into this, how American car culture, you look at the commercials, is marketed with a freedom aesthetic, let the wind blow through your hair, drive a truck off road, while cars are kind of the main component in turning the United States into a surveillance state. It's not just your tractor where you go in your car, but cars are going to have cameras inside them soon, reporting back when you lick your eyes off the road. Fuck that. Mm-hmm. I think what feels extremely un-American about them to me, besides the surveillance, is it turns law enforcement upside down. It makes us all permanent suspects in open-ended investigations. And making this point better than I can, here's a professor from Ohio State named Viet Tran, who's an expert in crime surveillance and policing. He's talking at a city council meeting in Columbus, Ohio last week.
My name is Dr. Viet Tran. I'm a professor at Ohio State University. At the Ohio State University, my areas of expertise include crime, surveillance, and policing. I've been doing this research for 14 years now, first at the University of California, and then at Yale, and now in Columbus. It is my professional opinion that Flock is a dystopian violation of our rights. And what I mean by that is that it inverts the very nature of how police are supposed to function. So in traditional investigations, a crime is supposed to happen first, and then detectives are supposed to identify a list of plausible suspects, and then those suspects are placed under investigation. But under Flock, we are all, everybody in this room, every day, every time we get into our cars, we are all under investigation at all times for all crime.
So yeah, basically how this is going to work is everyone's going to have an open case file based on your movement proximity, and AI will constantly be sorting and building a permanent case against you, right? And this is not hypothetical. Just recently, Wisconsin cops got a warrant and arrested a guy based upon the fact he was driving to Michigan next door regularly. His whole reason for being suspicious of him was he was going to Michigan because weed's legal there. Therefore, we suspect this guy for going to Michigan. And then they got a warrant based upon his movements and did find weed in his car. So he did do it. But that's not the point. The point is they had no reason to suspect this guy other than he was driving a place they did not like him to be driving.
Right.
I feel like...
Yeah, this is as close as we can... I just watched Minority Report with my sons recently, a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Movie hits holds up pretty well, and ever more prescient, because this feels like it's as close as we can come to having precogs, right now. You got AI precogs watching everybody at the same time, whatever, instead of magical water baby psychics like they have in that movie.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like we talk about movies being dystopias, but I'd rather, the precogs at least had magical abilities.
They do have magical abilities. That is true. But even that, but Mark, they can be manipulated, as you see in the tale itself. But yeah, right. But this is like if the precogs were hoaxes the whole time in that movie.
Yeah. So Flock's interesting case to me, corporate mismanagement, because first of all, There are other companies who do this thing. Flock's just the most prominent one. And I feel like what's going to happen here is governments, state and local, are going to make a big deal of giving up Flock contracts and pivot to using Axon or something, because Flock's going to be,
Yeah, the name is going to be
right.
Persona non grata or whatever they say.
But as all these tech companies pivot to doing dystopian shit and tyranny shit because they have no other use cases for their fucking products,
right?
It's funny to me, the CEO of Flock apparently got to do the thing every other company in the history of the world has done, where they gain the public's trust I guess they thought their customers were just the powerful people and cops and forgot that there were these things called, quote, voters and citizens that they needed to fucking actually manage, but they didn't do that at all. They also did that other tech thing where they rolled it out before the bugs were worked out, so they keep getting the wrong people pulled over and almost killed, which isn't great for their PR. I watched a body cam video of, like, this poor guy with his girlfriend and their 18-month-old kid. The guy gets pulled over because the flock has misread an X on their license plate as a Y, and they're holding a gun on an 18-month-old child. And then they're blaming it, like, oh, sorry, sir, we're letting you go. The flock messed up. It's like, no, you pointed your gun at a fucking 18-month-old kid. That's why right. You can't have this technology. You're fucking untrustworthy scumbags. So in response to all this backlash, Flock has just announced, talking about that, they forgot to do the thing where they made sure it worked before they rolled it out. They just announced a default 7-day data retention period, so they're going to delete the data after 7 days and not build a permanent case file on you, which I don't fucking believe them until there's like legislation that mandates it. Even then, they'll keep it. Even though legislation mandates it, just won't be admissible in court, which is, I guess, something. But they also they're actually going to require cops to put in case numbers for investigations to use Flock, which they didn't think to do before. Right. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right, Flock. So they could just use it for whatever they want to. I'm sure they probably still can, but like they don't even have to, you know, have a pretense for having a legitimate reason to do it. They could just use it for whatever.
Before you'd have to like be a part of an investigation. You just play around. I wonder what Mac's girlfriend. I wonder my cousin's up to. Where is he at right now? You know, that kind of shit. So what they're going to do is going to make all their clients or the cops opt into AI auditing. So a paperclip will pop up and say, it appears this woman has committed no crime and just has a nice rack. Are you sure you want to follow her around? And I'm not even being facetious here. I have an exact case study that's pretty funny here. This cop in Florida, sheriff's deputy named Lamar Roman, no longer sheriff's deputy for reasons we're about to find out. He met a woman while he was working security on the set of Bad Monkey, the Apple TV show with Vince Vaughn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty good show.
Yeah, I love the show. She got off a bus. She was an extra. And he saw her and immediately shouted, oh, my God, why didn't nobody tell me they were bringing models to set?
Ooh, that can't miss. Surely that landed.
She didn't know whether or not Roma was a real cop or whether he was just playing a cop on the show, which the answer is neither, really.
Right.
So, after meeting her, catcalling her, and harassing her for her full name and her Instagram handle, he started illegally looking up her vehicle information. He put her license plate on a surveillance hot list, meaning he'd get a notification in real time anytime she drove by an AI-powered license plate surveillance camera. This was not a Flock one. This was a different one that they were able to abuse. So then he got a hit in the video. Let me describe. This is all in video that I watched, but I want to describe it for you, all right, from this piece in 404 Media. Roman speeds 70 miles an hour down a 2-lane highway running over a bridge in the Florida Keys. He passes a dump truck in a no-passing zone, then immediately does it again, crossing over a double yellow to pass another truck. He passes a third vehicle, nearly causing a head-on collision with a white pickup truck that has to veer off the road to avoid hitting him. He keeps driving, then sees the woman's SUV he's been chasing. He flicks on his lights and sirens and pulls her over. Now, this part's visible from his dash camera. It's pretty funny to watch because he obviously gets rejected and has to do the sad Charlie Brown walk back to his car. Now, she says he asked her why she didn't... Like, he chased her down, almost killed multiple people to pull her over. And what he asked her was why she hadn't followed him back on Instagram.
Yeah. This guy. Smooth operator, man.
Yeah.
Again, I can't believe none of this stuff worked. Yeah, that's wild to pursue a woman through traffic like that and endanger all these lives and shit just to be like, what's up? Yeah. You know, check your notifications.
Not that it matters. I have no idea if she was being honest, but she told him multiple times on the set of Bad Monkey and during the traffic stop that she had a boyfriend. So not only is he violating, you know, laws of politeness and chivalry and of the United States of America and Florida, but he's also violating bro code. So this lady, she had no idea she was being stalked until he pulled her over, even though he'd been doing it for like a month or two. And he would have totally gotten away with it if she hadn't reported him. There was no oversight for him doing this. But he just pled out. He just got probation for all this. He did have to surrender his law enforcement license. But so he got jail.
Like a flock for the flock cops, you know? Like, where's the AI that reports when they abuse the AI to do shit like this, you know? Yeah, they wouldn't go for that so quickly. Wouldn't line up around the block to fucking put that into place.
Nah. So, like, he's got probation and diversion, like a jail diversion or whatever, for almost committing vehicular homicide while stalking and abusing his authority.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, maybe somebody should have been surveilling this motherfucker. But like, I was wondering why he did get more of a book thrown at him. Then I looked into the sheriff's department. They might have bigger fish to fry because they currently have another deputy who was a 42-year-old woman who got arrested for passing similar database information to her 19-year-old boyfriend who's a drug dealer.
Yeah.
Florida cops, baby.
Florida, baby. Yeah. That's classic Florida shit right there.
Yeah, M19 is my 42-year-old cop girlfriend who's helping me drug deal.
Tale as old as time in Florida.
So all the wrong people love this fucking shit, and this is going to blow your mind, Trey. So this website called FOIA Ball filed a bunch of like Freedom of Information Act requests and apparently found out that a small New Jersey town had their flock cameras paid for by Aaron fucking Rodgers.
What? Was it like a wealthy suburb he moved into while playing for the Jets or something?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right.
I want to quote here, like, when it's Aaron being surveilled, this is a quote from him on Where Else, the Pat McAfee Show, which of course you know it's a Pat McAfee Show. It's a sick society, isn't it? What is it with entitlement to information that we're living in society these days? Months later, Rogers bemoaned that he was under constant technological supercharged surveillance, claiming that paparazzi had been flying drones over his house. It got so bad, he said, that he left his longtime Malibu home. This is a guy who... Rogers got married fairly recently. We don't know exactly when because he's kept it all a secret. No one's ever seen his wife, mm-hmm. which... Congratulations to him. I would also like to keep my life private.
Right.
Sure. But most people...
His wife, Mark. Yeah. We're still doing that whole thing?
Okay. Yeah.
Now, for anybody that doesn't know, there's long-running rumors about Aaron Rodgers being gay, which I'm just joking about. I'm not saying he actually is, but he's just a fucking weirdo. But so this flock thing, was this Aaron Rodgers just being like, see, how do you like it? You know what I'm saying? If he bitches so much about constant surveillance, is that what he was like? I'll surveil them all. Everybody in my neighborhood.
Maybe he's trying to bribe the cops to arrest Dr. Fauci. I don't know. But yeah, he used an LLC cutout to maintain his own privacy while he bought, like, he used an LLC to keep his life private while he used his money to buy cameras for cops to stalk other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know we don't like hypocrisy, like, charges of hypocrisy don't work in this country anymore, but fuck Aaron Rodgers for like 500 different reasons, besides the fact he plays for the goddamn Steelers who suck.
Right.
So I think part of why cops like flock so much, it's not just because it makes their jobs easier. Like I watched a clip from a city council meeting where a cop was losing his shit because the town was going to take down the flock cameras, and he was upset basically people imputing his integrity, but also was complaining about the cop in the city council meeting goes, well, good luck when your grandma goes missing. Like, he's not even gonna look for their grandma because you're taking away his cameras. Right. And I'm like, you're people fired.
Missing persons cases, you know, up until 8 months ago or last year, whenever all this shit happened.
I don't know, but I guess we can defund his police department because he's not going to do anything anyway. He's just announced it. He basically said he was going to retire if they didn't fucking give him his cock camera. Like, go look for grandma, dude. I don't know what do you think your fucking job is? But like, it turns these, besides the fact that like it, you know, allows them to frame people, allows them to put whoever they want, like. It allows you to find someone you want to put in jail and figure out a reason why afterwards. Another way to put that is it lets them run their own little CIA and FBI COINTELPRO ops.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been caught doing this at least two times already, we're about to talk about. It's a small town called Lenexa, Kansas. The cops were caught using a license plate reader to track a guy who wrote a critical guest column in the local newspaper. What they did was they followed around using the cameras and figured out he'd hung up posters around the city because he's politically active. And they charged him with defacing government property because the posters were attached with glue sticks. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These environmentally conscious Kansas cops out here.
Yes.
just trying to save the planet. Doing the Lord's and like, work.
The way the First Amendment law works is you're not supposed to do viewpoint discrimination. Meaning, you can forbid the hanging of flyers in your town if you want, But you cannot let a little kid hang a lost dog flyer and not let this guy hang up his anti-cop flyers.
Right, yeah.
Right. So what they did was try to figure out a way to punish him just for his anti-cop flyers, where the little lost dog flyers can still be hung up around. Because the kids, I guess, used tape while he used a glue stick. See what I'm saying? So, but here's another one from just last week. I'm going to play this. This is a news piece from a guy named Bob Sklar, who from North Manchester, Indiana, who's a vocal critic of his local government.
There's your guy right there.
Bob Sklar believes the government is following him.
It's as if the government was tracking you, put a GPS on you, monitored everywhere you went, when you went there.
Not just around this small Indiana town, but across the country.
This is where the camera is.
Right. So, Bob and guys like him are American heroes. Mm-hmm. They're load-bearing pillars of American democracy. The people who go to city council and complain all the time are doing that job for all of us. They're watching the budgets. They're asking why their money is being spent, what the city's doing, why is the mayor's buddy getting a sweet deal on the city-owned land, right? That kind of shit. The country falls apart without guys like this being super annoying to local government officials.
100%.
And I want to play this the example of what I'm talking about. Bob's very, very proud of his activism.
They often are. Second clip.
Yeah.
Much is the budget going up.
Bob regularly criticizes the North Manchester government and its police officers. You speak out at town council meetings.
I do. Whether or not this is appropriate conduct for a town employee.
They've adopted official rules just because of me.
Believing the police are following him.
So he started, like, when he realized the cops were following him around, he filed a bunch of public records requests and got a bunch of files in the police department. He found out, quote, let me quote here, they did have an alert in my vehicle, he said, but the department would not disclose who had been tracking his license plate or for how long or why. So he went to Have I Been Flocked, the website we've talked about before. He entered his license plate and he found 63 total searches logged against his vehicle from December 2024 through the end of 2025.
Hold on. I know you said we talked about this before. If I go to Have I Been Flocked and I type in my license plate, it will tell me the number of times that I've been searched for, or that like AI has pinged me or something.
How many times you ping the camera, and then it'll tell you So Have I Been Flocked is dependent upon local records laws for whatever jurisdiction you're in. So if you don't find your license plate, does not mean you have not been flocked. It just means you've probably been flocked in a jurisdiction that didn't release it to haveibeenflocked.com.
Okay, but what I'm saying is it indicate a human element if you're on there?
No.
Okay.
It could just mean you appeared on you. It means your license plate.
You got logged by the computer for whatever reason.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're obviously trying to find a crime to hang on this guy, and I would advise Bob to delete his hard drive because they're going to find something. One officer, they were randomly just pulling him over all the time. Now, Bob, to his credit, it's in the other, like, when he finds a cop following him, he turns his camera on and asks the cop what they're doing. It's the same cop. One cop following around all the time. Mm-hmm. His own personal valet in a police car. So, the officer said, one time they pulled him over just to see what he was up to, and asked him how his trip to Philadelphia was. He said, how would you know I was in Philly? And the only answer is flock, but when you ask, how was your trip to Philadelphia? That is a fucking threat.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like Bob didn't pick up on that apparently or something. But yeah, right. It seems like that was a very deliberate choice of line of questioning by the cop. You know, he's wanting you to know that he's watching you.
Yeah. And so Sklar filed a public records request to find out who had placed an alert on his vehicle, and the town acknowledged that an alert existed, but refused to identify the officer citing officer safety. So they won't tell him. The officer's following him around to see what he's up to, but if you have to find out what the officer who's following is up to, you can't know because that's private.
Right. No, I know. Yeah. Right. That's what we were saying earlier about how they would not let the equivalent of this be done to them. There's no fucking way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a sort of a flip side of that Aaron Rodgers situation where he has that happening to him, but still, you know, doesn't care. In his mind, that's different than what these are doing. The version that's happening to him is bullshit and unfair and un-American. The version that's happening to all his neighbors is just making sure they don't steal his shit or whatever the fuck, you know, get too close to his fence or whatever it is.
Yeah, because Aaron's the main character.
Right, right.
And you're just your Dom player characters in Aaron's way.
Yes, and the cops they're the heroes and the good guys and all that. And, you know, yeah, that would just impede them. And like you said, we're all either bad guys or NPCs waiting to become a bad guy.
Or, according to the CEO of Flock, terrorists.
Right.
Only a terrorist would not want cops to know where they are 24/7 with a constant updating case file with all your movements and all your behaviors and, you know, what's changed about your car, yada, yada, yada. You know, I think the funny part is, of all the outrage here, like the people most upset about this besides libertarians are MAGA people. Because, like, a lot of these Flock cameras are in the parking lots of gun shops.
I was just about to say, before you even went into this, I was going to be like, dude, because to me, all these new technocrats and stuff have aligned themselves with, like, at least a version of the right. And I was going to be like, I know we started with an East Tennessee County Commissioner threatening to execute one of them. Mm-hmm. But, like, I was going to be like, how is anybody on the right okay with this? Because in my mind, this is exactly the type of shit that most of the right-wingers that I've known, which is to say, like, the redneck variety, would have absolutely fucking hated. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, fervently.
They've spent, like, the right in this country, the culture war right, has spent, like, decades fighting against anything resembling a national a registry of gun owners, right? Right. This is it. It is here.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, I think they think it's a government thing, but what you got to understand is that this is on private property, pointing at the parking lot of a gun store. It's because the gun store put it there. Now, that does not mean that it won't end up in a government database, because I imagine it probably will. But, like, every one of these companies to stop theft and shoplifting, or just to be able to let it know when a criminal is in their parking lot, wants to be able to keep track of who's coming and going. You find the Flock cameras are in Home Depot parking lots and Lowe's parking lots, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they've all been caught handing it over to the federal government. Like, I think we talked about it before. Lowe's and Home Depot were cooperating with ICE, you know, to help them catch day laborers in their parking lot.
Right.
And I don't agree with it, but I understand why Home Depot, they're victims of a lot of shoplifting, right? Because you can just carry a piece of lumber out of Lowe's.
Mm-hmm.
No one stops you. You can't, like, put security tags on boards. So, like, I get why they want to know if a habitual shoplifter is in their parking lot. But, sorry, you just got to, like, keep a better eye on your door, you know? That's kind of how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I don't understand, like, how this technology makes hypocrites of everyone, because while I'm for some measure of more accountability when it comes to gun control, but not like this, right? I don't think, like, tracking people coming and going from parking lots of gun stores is the right way to go about it. It feels like an invasion of privacy. And also, anybody who's been against a fucking national gun registry, how do you justify this? And, like, how is it? I don't know. I can't make sense of it anymore. I feel like everybody, all Americans of all stripes, who aren't lazy cops, should be against this.
Yeah, I know. And it seems to me, I mean, I'm sure they're not. I mean, again, I've seen the clips of Joe Rogan being convinced that it's a good idea. And I think he still has legions of devotees. But most of the people I know, it seems like every time I see I never see anybody being in favor of it. Usually it's like people, you know, ranting and raving about it. Like I say, even my back home buddies and stuff like that are definitely not big lefties or anything, but I don't know.
If I believed in, like, the 7 days, I think 7 days is even too much data retention. I think like for the things you would need emergency Flock cameras for would be like a kidnapping of a child. I think you need 6 hours for that, right? Like, I think that's enough. And then otherwise, we can just fucking, like you can just delete it and whatever. There might be a version of this that's workable, but this isn't it, man. And, right. like I mentioned them, like, not getting people's buy-in and not convincing people it's worth it to start with. They're going to end up being banned as illegal because they fucked up the rollout of this and then, like, almost got a bunch. The amount of people I've seen wrongfully pulled over for this, like, LA just canceled its Flock contract because, like, 37%, I think, of the traffic stops they were conducting for alleged stolen vehicles were false. More than a third. They're wrong a third of the time. They're going to get people killed.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
It is. All right. Well, thank you guys for watching. We appreciate it. Listen, go come see me on the road, please. About to fire that back up pretty soon. I'll be in Omaha, Des Moines, Kansas City. Then we got upstate New York, Hartford, Connecticut, Eugene, Oregon, Austin, Texas, and a bunch of other places in the near future. I'll let Trey Crowder. .com so go there, treycrowder.com. also consider checking out producer Matt's audio exclusive good skews, good people doing good things. It's on the audio feed for this show, a bit of a palate cleanser. And as for the show, if you'd like to sign up on Patreon and support us and get some more of the show in your life, go to weeklyskews.com/more or just go to Patreon and search for my name. Either way works. $5 a month gets you ad-free versions of all the main episodes, plus 2 full-length bonus episodes per month, including every now and then we do Q&As, including we're thinking about maybe doing live Q&As on the Patreon in the very near future. So, you know, a lot of fun stuff. Consider signing up on Patreon. But either way, as long as you watch these here editions, we'll keep sitting down for them, and we'll see you next time. That's it for now. Love you. Bye.
Skew.